We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. We're continuing our player profile series, working our way through Penn State's roster. We're in the early stages now, but if you did miss anything, you can check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We're just a few short days away from the blue-white game, and if you weren't able to win the free RV for the game, which we gave away a couple weeks ago, GoPSURV.com still has a great deal for you. Starting at just $350 for a group of four, you can arrive Friday and stay through Sunday on the GoPSURV.com lot. They've got a bunch of awesome RVs to stay in. There's a free 409 tailgate club meal included in the price, free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium for the game, and you can enjoy the ultimate tailgate experience all weekend long for a low, low price. Contact Mark today for more details, 1-800-519-8467, or you can always go to GoPSURV.com for more information. We're working our way, Greg, through numerically. So we've gone through ones, twos, threes, and fours. There are multiples on a couple of those, which leaves us now at number five, Tariq Castro Fields. Very interesting player for Penn State's prospects in 2019. Yeah. You presume that he's a guy who's going to make the leap from number three cornerback to the number two, maybe even the de facto number one cornerback on the roster. Played as a true freshman, so he will be a true junior this season. You look at the length, the quickness, the speed. He falls in the same line as Christian Campbell and Amani Oberwarie. But I think just talent-wise, he might be even more talented at the same stage as those guys were. Both those guys arrived as three-star type players. Tariq Castro Fields was more highly regarded, has some good experience now. And I kind of wonder if he's a guy who might leave after his junior season. Is he that good?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. It won't surprise me at all if he ends up being one of the guys that after Penn State's 2019 season concludes that we're talking about him as a potential junior NFL draft early entry candidate, if I could talk. So, I mean, you look at his snap count last year. He played 56% of Penn State's snaps. He was really, really good when he was asked to play against Ohio State. That in Indiana ended up being the two games he played in the most in 2018. And I can't think of many, if any, instances where he was a culprit of opposing touchdown. So his next progression needs to be is, can he do what Amani Oriwarie did and shut down the Big Ten's best receivers? It's not to say John Reed can't be that guy, but I think Castro Fields gives you a little bit more in the area of just being able to match up physically in terms of speed and size with some of the Big Ten's best receivers. So we saw Amani in that role a year ago. I think Castro Fields graduates to it this year. Maybe John Reed takes the number two receiver on the other team. Time will tell how that all plays out. But high hopes for Castro Fields since he's got here. I don't think he's disappointed. And you're right. I think he could be a guy that ends up leaving early once the 2019 season is said and done.
So a couple of things kind of stand in the way of that for me. Number one, one of the differences right now between him and Campbell and Oberwarie is I think functional playing strength is something that I think those guys were a little bit stronger, a little bit thicker. And it's not to say maybe he's made that progression since we last saw him, you know, in January. Maybe that's evolved. Maybe he's changed. And what he also lacks is really just elite film. He's played a pretty significant role for 2 years, but not a starting role, not really looked at to run with top wide receivers down after down after down. So obviously that's something he's got to make that leap and make that progression this year. But in terms of importance, how important is it for Penn State to have a big year from Tariq Castro Fields? And I think the other question is, how good can that cornerback room be? How good can the secondary be if he's as good as we think he can be?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to need him to have a huge year, because when you break it down, Penn State's defense should be one of the best units Brent Pry's had in a couple of years. And he's had some really good defenses the last few years. But when you combine the returning talent, the veteran experience, and some some of the younger guys are going to take a bigger step forward this year. I know you have some depth issues at defensive tackle. I know defensive end, you have to break in somebody opposite from Etor Gross-Matos, but this unit may be the best one statistically and performance-wise Brent Pry has had at Penn State. There's been some really good ones before this one, so I think that's not an unfair place to set the bar, and for that to be the case, they're going to need Castro Fields to be one of their leaders, not just in terms of pass breakups and interceptions, but also just general play.
If he is a lockdown cornerback, that kind of changes everything, because I think John Reed, as much as his star faded a little bit just because of the injury that cost him 2017 and a good chunk of 2018 also, but I think both of those guys have potential to be true lockdown types. And a couple interesting things I feel like with Tariq Castro Fields. Number one, he is a very aggressive and willing tackler. And some of the film that really pops when you watch Penn State is him making plays in the open field. It's a big asset. It's not one that will make or break your NFL draft value, because your ability and coverage and a lot of other physical attributes will define that. But he's definitely got that. And I think that shows a certain attitude that Penn State wants, that teams want. If your cornerback is going to be a physical player, that's going to help you. And if you look back to 2017, when Penn State landed Tariq Castro Fields, he was one of the first big late gets, one of those national signing day. You're not sure until the very end if you're going to get him. That was a big moment, I felt like, for Penn State to get him. And then for him to largely back that up so far with potential for more, I think it's been huge for Penn State.
Yeah, no doubt. And ultimately, he was a guy that Penn State, you're right, didn't. I think they thought they were going to get him, but it certainly wasn't a guarantee. And once they were able to lock him in, he was, you know, one of the few guys early in that Franklin recruiting process that was a win for Penn State on national sign. They didn't have too many explosive fireworks like that, if you will, before that. And he was the first one that got the ball rolling.
The Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. They got a special deal for you if you're listening right now. Starting at just $350 for a group of four, you can arrive for the blue-white game on Friday the 12th. Check out the game on Saturday the 13th. Stay through Sunday in one of their awesome RVs. You get a free 409 Tailgate Club meal included in that price, which is very, very low in the first place. You get a free shuttle to and from the game. The ultimate tailgate experience for the better part of 3 days. If you're interested, contact Mark today. 1-800-519-8467, or you can go to gopsurv.com to learn more about this special offer. Continuing on, another number five on the offensive side of the ball now, Jahan Dotson, who will be a true sophomore in 2019. He was the talk of camp leading into the season, and then you didn't see a whole lot of him because Penn State had veterans that a lot of people would argue James Franklin was too loyal to some of those guys. Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins, all season long, struggled with drops, and it continued into the Citrus Bowl also. It didn't take much, but outside of KJ Hamler, in the last 3, 4, 5 games of the year, Jahan Dotson was probably the most reliable set of hands that Penn State had on the wide receiver side of things anyway.
Yeah.
You know that he's a little bit on the small side. You wonder, you know, with him being on the small side, with KJ Hamler being small, maybe two of their most talented wide receivers, both being south of 5'10". What does that do in terms of how you deploy them? But 13 catches, 203 yards, 10 of those catches went for first downs last year. He definitely showed, backed up the hype that we heard last summer.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible stat, isn't it, that 10 of 13 went for a first down. I mean, that tells you the kind of impact he had, even though it was in a limited setting. I mean, it was still very productive. So the biggest thing for him, I think, this year is, did he put any weight on? And either way, will that make him a better player in 2019? So I don't know if Penn State thought he was going to have to be a producer or if he grew into that role last year, but he eventually found a way where they couldn't keep him off the field. And that was something that, coming out of high school, I think it was one of the reasons he was originally a UCLA commit and why the Bruins wanted him, because I think before Chip Kelly got there, you know, the previous coaching staff at UCLA saw what kind of impact he could have. Penn State is able to, you know, use that coaching change at that point in time to its advantage and swoop in and get him late. And wow, it was an impactful late get.
Was an impactful late get. One of the things I kind of got a chuckle about as I was looking over this stuff last night was Chip Kelly – He loses his job as the Eagles head coach because he was given control over personnel and he made a lot of terrible decisions on personnel. So he gets to UCLA and he opts to just completely ignore Jahan Dotson, who had been committed to him from Nazareth,
right,
and ends up walking away. This is what he wanted. He wanted Jahan Dotson to back away from his commitment.
Right.
And then you see what Jahan Dotson showed he's capable of doing really early in his career at Penn State, and it's just another little personnel issue for Chip Kelly that I thought was funny. For Jahan Dotson, you know, you compare and contrast him to KJ Hamler. Yes, they're both small guys, but they couldn't play any differently to me. Like, Jahan Dotson is more of the smooth and tactical and can make sort of those veteran savvy type moves. And one of the things I observed about him as a high school player was that he played bigger than his frame. And I still think that that's true.
Yeah.
KJ Hamler is just a ball of energy. I don't think you can really ever – there's nobody else quite like him.
Right.
Certainly on Penn State's roster, but few in college football.
Yeah, I mean, so what Penn State needs now is a bigger body receiver, right? It has it to – not that KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson are undersized, but let's face it, they're not going to probably succeed all that often against – a corner the size of like
guys.
Like Amani. If they have to compete against Amani or Uwarie, I think it's going to be kind of tough. A long guy like that who can also jump, I mean, it's not, they're not built to go against guys like that. Penn State needs someone to develop that can be that guy. They already have the two guys that are their speedy smaller guys.
And that right there, I think, is the central issue when you're talking about Penn State's wide receivers. You can, you know, they got a new position coach with Jared Parker, but I think one of the things that I'll be curious to see is what these size issues that they have. Who are the big body guys who are going to step up into new roles?
Right.
Last player here, number six, Cam Brown. I think, you know, I'm on the record going back to when he was first recruited and when Penn State decided to make him a linebacker. I thought it was a horrible mistake. But as things have progressed, he's not conventionally built at 6'5", 230 pounds, but I was really impressed with the way that he played last year, the way that he was able to hold his own in coverage. They used him as a Swiss Army knife type player,
right,
was able to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, was able to put pressure on the quarterback, did a little bit of everything, was maybe their most physical linebacker, which was, again, that lanky frame, you wouldn't expect it.
Right.
So he's now at a point where I think there's a lot of expectations for him to play a leadership role and to really anchor that linebacker group, which is getting better and better and better.
Yeah, I was impressed standing next to him a couple of weeks ago after a Penn State spring practice. He put some weight on, and it's good weight, too. I mean, it's not just – it looks like what he's been trying to do all of his career, he's finally been able to do it in terms of putting on good weight and keeping it on. So I think he is a guy that, man, Dustin, if you're looking for a true breakout pick – and I know he had a pretty good year last year, and it's hard to pick a returning starter as a breakout guy, but in terms of a guy that could go maybe to the first team all Big Ten level, I think he certainly has everything in place to put it all together.
He can be very disruptive in a lot of ways. So there you go. Cam Brown, the last of our player profile series for this week. We're going to continue. You can check it out all spring and summer long at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.